Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We have looked at the death of Christ, the passion of Christ here in two different ways. We have studied the beginning part of the week, the physical horrors of this. But we can't just stay physically. The focus has to be on the fact that all of this was brought about because sin caused this, our sin caused this. And there's a greater spiritual reality here that we have to see. We have to see this theologically in the whole picture of what is happening and what God is fulfilling throughout redemptive history, all culminating in this point when Jesus Christ dies and sheds his blood. What is happening? This is far beyond a mere shallow surface reading of this. We've got to get beyond that. It was the common proverb that a person who was crucified died a thousand deaths. But it's been rightly said that only the damned in hell know what Jesus suffered when he died on the cross. That is a horrid thought. Our sins caused this, and there are people who are going to suffer eternally in hell because of that. Jesus is facing, in the place of the Christian, the wrath of God, and it's being poured out on his soul, his body and his soul for our sins. The only way to properly understand it, lest we remain on the surface, is to go deeper into what the scriptures show, what is being fulfilled here. Let's go over this again. When Pilate, therefore, verse 13, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Every word has meaning. What is this place called the pavement? Gabbatha means a lofty place of this pavement. What is going on here? Here, knowing the whole scripture, knowing this is why we study the Old Testament, everything is about Jesus Christ, everything is about his person and work. In Exodus chapter 24, Moses saw something. Moses went up, and they saw the God of Israel, and there under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. God, there in Exodus, had descended on Sinai on his judgment throne to give the law. The same phenomenon is described in Ezekiel chapter 1, where God had come in judgment. It was the chariot throne moving with wheels. And another again, this floor of heaven, this paved work is described as the judgment seat. God is there seated in his glory. Now, if we had the ability to be there that day, if God were to open our eyes at the days of the crucifixion, do you know what would have sat right over Pilate's throne that no one could see with their physical eyes? It was the heavenly throne of judgment, the lofty place, Gabbatha, the place of the pavement, heaven. Heaven's floor, and above that, a throne where the God of heaven and earth is judging his son. You see, what's happening here is God is unleashing his fury on his only begotten son who has taken our place. What imagery do you have? On his back, he is bearing the very wood for the sacrifice. Sound familiar? Then he said, Genesis 22, verse 2, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Abraham there was going to slay his son. Remember what happened? Abraham lifts up the knife upon his son, who is placed over the very wood that Isaac had to carry on his back, and God stops him, and God provided a lamb, a substitute. Abraham, you didn't spare your son, God says, your only son. Now I know you fear God. Don't you see what that scene foreshadows? Jesus carries the wood with two men. He is numbered with the transgressors, Isaiah 53. God the Father did not spare his only begotten son. And there on the cross, the wood that Jesus bore on his back, the place of the sacrifice, the wrath fell on him, the fire. But in what place? It was Golgotha, the place of the skull. What was that? You see, back in Genesis chapter 3, God had made a promise, speaking to the woman, that he would put enmity between her seed and the devil's seed. And the devil would bruise his heel, but the seed would crush his head. Think of the situation. The devil thought he had won by bruising the seed, by killing the seed. Two seeds are represented on the cross next to Jesus. And there at Golgotha, the place of the skull, Jesus had a great victory. In his death, in the bruising of his heel, he crushed the head of the devil. He gave and saved and brought salvation to his sheep. And the announcement of the victory of the gospel over his head is what has been announced all throughout this time. Satan is a defeated foe. The apostle said in Romans, the God's going to come and crush the head of the serpent under your feet shortly through the one who will judge the living and the dead. Jesus has won the victory. And yet, in God's providence, the world has that announced to them. What was over Jesus' head on the cross? An announcement. King of the Jews. But oh, it wasn't just written in Hebrew, but it was written in Greek and in Latin. In other words, it was written to the world that the king was given for all kinds of men. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then something occurs. Something occurs, dear listener. The shame so terrible to declare to the world, the forgiveness is that great. You know what they did to Jesus? As they crucified him, they stripped him naked and bare, and he had to face the shame and total nakedness on the cross in front of everyone. You ever thought about why we wear clothes? Before Adam and Eve sinned, what do you read? The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. After they sinned, what happened? They became aware of their sin. Their eyes were opened. And what's the first thing they did? They ran and they tried to cover that shame with physical clothing. Did you ever think that the clothes you're wearing right now, being a result of the fall, that the outward physical experience of covering your nakedness so your neighbor doesn't see it is really demonstrating a different problem? The overarching problem that we are all desperately trying to cover our shame before God, our sin. It's history of the world. No one wants to see their shame. No one wants to see their sin. In other words, we cover ourselves to hide things. That's just our lives. We don't want anyone to see into them. That's why you have in all these political scandals, everyone wants to have everyone else's shame exposed, but not their own. The same is true spiritually. We are so good at covering. Now, God did something for Adam and Eve in the garden. What did he do? For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He covered their shame. He shed blood in the garden and covered them with skins. to show that he himself has to provide a covering for our sins. So what does this mean then? Jesus is stripped at the cross. Judgment in the Bible is often represented as the Lord uncovering and making bare one's nakedness, making them poor, exposing them, not just physically, but spiritually. Job decried this. Job 22:6, "You strip men of their clothing, leaving them naked." Do you see it? Adam and Eve could be clothed again with coverings to cover that nakedness by the blood of a shed animal in the garden, only because it foreshadowed and anticipated that Jesus Christ one day would be stripped naked for us. In other words, he would take on the full measure of our shame that our sin deserved. He would give up everything that he has in order to make us rich, stripped of all of his dignity. What a thought. He who had no sin, yet he became sin for us. He became shamed and open for us before the judgment seat without a covering. You imagine that? Standing before God, having to give an account of your whole life. Jesus stood there, shamed and open, bearing our sins. He takes them upon himself. And how he is able. That fifth piece, that tunic, you know, we're shocked. It was a seamless tunic woven from top to bottom. Any astute listener of the Bible will remember that in Exodus, only a priest wore something like that. As they stripped him, he showed himself to be the true high priest, a perfect high priest who had no sin, who had his own righteousness. So now, dear listener, you see what the cross is all about. It declares him. It announces to all that he has come to die, that he is carrying the wood for his sacrifice as the prophet, that over his head is the sign, King. And as he's stripped of his nakedness, he has of his clothing, he has the ability to pay for your sin and mine because he is a perfect high priest who by the power of his indestructible life pays for our sin. Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection is the fulfillment of everything the scripture speaks about. Dear listener, there's no salvation. There's no other way anyone can enter heaven except they come in Christ. They come to Christ, believing Christ, and he covers them. He covers their shame. He gives them robes of righteousness so that before God they can stand. Dear sinner, have you come to Christ? Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We would love to have you join us for worship. If you visit and you're from the radio, let one of the ushers know. That would greatly encourage us. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Many resources for you at our website, lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. We are always thankful that you tune in and listen to the good news of the gospel. May we cling to it as our only hope in life and in death. May the Lord Jesus Christ, his glorious gospel, and the riches of it continue to richly bless you.